Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman.
The national debt is at $34 trillion. Each of us taxpayer owe $266,000, according to the USDebtClock.org. April 15th is just around the corner, and if you haven't filed your taxes yet, then you're in luck, because today we're going to discuss taxes and what you can do right now to reduce your taxes. That's right, higher taxes are on their way. Is your retirement ready? Good morning. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome, people around here. They call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal, tax, and financial questions each week. And that's because I run a tax, financial, and legal practice. I've been doing so for over 30 years. Do you feel like you're paying too much in taxes? Or maybe you just don't know. Well, if you're retired or nearly there and you've saved your money well, did you know that there are dozens of strategies for helping to lower your taxes? I don't know about you, but when you go down to your tax preparer, do you just hand them a bunch of documents and a shoebox and just say, here you go, and they come back and just say, yo, this, and that's it? Well, if that's the way it's been going, change that, because with these strategies, you can take advantage of them. So find out today, right now, what you can do as we go over 10 tax reduction strategies for confident retirement savers. Find out what they are and if you can use them to help reduce your tax bill. Now, let's get started. Well, Congress avoided another government shutdown, and Friday the market had a little bit of a rally. The S&P 500 closed the week at 5137, so a new all-time high. For the week was up 0.9%. Now, the Dow was down a little bit off 0.1%, but still a pretty good close, 39,087. Year-to-date up 3.7%. NASDAQ had a pretty strong day. And a pretty strong week, up 1.7% as tech continues to lead, closing at 16,275. Year to date, NASDAQ's up 8.4%. But the story was in oil. Oil got close to $80 a barrel, closing at $79.74, up 4.2% for the week. Pretty good gain right there. Year to date, up 11.3%. And of course, we've been talking about gold. And gold got to 2,092, up 37, honing in on that 2,100 price market that we've been talking about for some time. So with the market being at all-time highs, the economy looking like it's doing pretty well, earnings coming in pretty strong, I start to look at the indicators out there to see what's around the corner. And one of the tried and true indexes that people use in the market is something called the VIX. It's the VIX. And it closed Friday at 13.11. Now, people that have market experience, they're familiar with the VIX, also known as the volatility index. But fear, and they look at it when it's the unknown. This is an unknown cousin, which we call the SKEW, the SKEW index. And so I look at that as well. Not many people look at that, but I want to explain today why I am looking at it. So I monitor the options-based volatility index pretty much every week, because both the VIX and now the SKEW, they can offer actionable and timely signals, especially when markets are, say, at inflection points. And so to provide a quick refresher for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, the more widely followed fear gauge, we call it the VIX, this is an index produced from a complex calculation that utilizes the S&P 500 index options and price data as the input value, so that they're looking at the activity that's going on there. And this is specifically geared to what's called the at-the-money options. These are option contracts that trade, and if they're at the money, they're trading right at their fair value, as opposed to above or beyond, below, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Ultimately, what the VIX does is it provides a gauge of demand for people buying options, and this is typically used by traders and institutional accounts alike to hedge equity market positions, so stock positions, when the general market uncertainty starts to rise considerably and investors seek to protect their downside by something that's called a put. A put option is something you buy expecting the market to go down, and if it does go down, you make money. If it goes up, you lose money. So if you're long a stock, and let's say you own a stock, and you want to protect your downside because you think that it might not continue to go up, you might buy puts for a period of time to just cover that downside. In these situations, the nervous trader is seeking to lock in profits or protect from drawdowns in new positions they might take. So they tend to buy options that are at or near the money. Since that is exactly the type of option demand that the VIX measures, the volatility index, again the VIX, will rise when general market uncertainty is driving above average hedging activity. So for this reason, the VIX typically has an inverse correlation to the broader S&P 500 index, which I just mentioned is at an all-time high at 51.37. Now, a low VIX number, like we are at right now, 13.1, can imply low market volatility. And this can also mean that traders are feeling pretty bullish right now. And it also shows that there's a generally positive outlook for stocks, which, of course, we've been talking about for some time. Now, on the other hand, the skew that I've been talking about, another type of index, SKEW, it's similar to the VIX in that it also measures options market demand. However, instead of at-the-money options, the CBOE, which is the Chicago Board of Exchange, they're the ones who created this index, their goal, the CBOE's goal, it's literally like a trading floor. If you imagine the New York Stock Exchange, this is the Chicago version. Their goal when creating this index was to provide a measure of what we call a tail risk. Now, this is an interesting term in the market. You may want to think about this one, the tail risk. It's also known as a black swan event. These are unknown things that can come out of nowhere that really hit the market. So the idea was that as the skew rose with people buying out of the money options. Now again, these are ones that are less expensive, but are designed to cover your upside or downside if something were to happen. And most of the folks who buy those typically are the retail investor. So when we break down the fundamentals of who, why, and when demand rises for out of the money options, this provides a different perspective on the skew and how it might help us right now as we're looking at this current market. So out-of-the-money options are often used by, like I said, the retail speculator who habitually lose money on their speculative directional options bets. So this would be the typical person who just buys options, doesn't have the capital to invest in the underlying equity. They're just trying to make it off options. So very, very lower premium, but much more upside if they win. So this, think about someone going to the horse track and just betting on their favorite horse, right? What are the chances of you winning? This is very similar in the stock market. So this low probability retail option trading allows option dealers to regularly collect the premium for the contracts that they offer to the general public. And these have short durations. However, what also tends to move the skew index meaningfully, and this is where I'm getting interested, is demand for sizable out-of-the-money option contracts. The kind of demand that only an institution could afford to write a check for. But these institutions are not speculating. They're hedging their equity position, typically newly opened ones, in order to meet regulatory or in-house risk management protocols. So if institutional investors are buying out-of-the-money options in a significant way, it is counterintuitively indicative of bullish sentiment among smart money institutional investors. What the understanding a rising skew is a healthy dynamic to see in an equity market equity bull market as we feel like we're in right now, a declining skew index typically occurs during early phases of market corrections or sustained bear markets as institutional investors start to get out of their long equity positions and with them their tail risk hedge. So I've been looking at a chart lately that looks at the skew over the last 2 years. You may want to pull this up if you can. If you can't, we're happy to share this with you. I'll give you a number later you can call to get. Actually, just 866-PROTECT, give us a call. I'm happy to share it. Anyway, this chart that I'm looking at, if you look at it over the last couple of years, has an interesting pattern. So the dynamic shows that an upward trend skew was happening in the second half of 21. Remember that? That was a very strong period of stock market returns. Followed by what? Well, a steady decline for much of 22, a rather painful year dominated by volatile equity sell-offs. So it's worth noting that during the 22 bear market, even the VIX was falling to register higher highs as the stock market made lower lows, a dynamic that is also consistent with institutional equity selling. In 23, we saw the equity market that lasted through end of last year with a modest correction in the second half of the year, but note the skew pulled back with stocks. So what's the skew telling me right now? Well, in mid-February, the skew spiked to the highest level since June of 21 before reversing sharply lower into the end of this month that we just finished up here, because now remember it's March. The whipsaw in the index suggests there was a surge in tail risk hedging leading up to the January CPI report. But you may remember it came in hotter than we thought and roiled the markets a little bit, but it was only brief. So if we're looking at this guide, such a spike and reversal like we saw in the summer of 21 doesn't mean the equity market rally is ending, but it suggests that a transition is underway in which institutional investors are starting to liquidate their long exposure and retail traders are left in charge of carrying the torch for the next leg of this rally. This is a dynamic that typically precedes more pronounced and prolonged selling pressure since the support of the institutional bids, the buyers, are gone. So looking ahead, as long as the skew churns near current levels, stocks should be okay. But if we see this skew begin to fall below the lows of October 23, then that's consistent with the onset of that more pronounced, which would signal a steep decline in the broader stock market. So what could you do right now if you feel like we're at all-time highs and you still want to participate in some more of this rally if it were to continue? There are different ways to do that. You can diversify. And there's also something called a fixed indexed annuity that invests in an index that you could choose, like the S&P 500, and protects your downside and gives you some upside. And now with rates so high, there's some pretty good upside. So if you're not aware of these sort of things, well, then pick up the phone and call us. 866-PROTECT. 866-PROTECT. Now, coming up next, is your financial plan as tax efficient as it can be? We are celebrating tax time coming up, so you need to do everything you can to save more. Find out if your plan is tax efficient. You're listening to Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. Do you feel like you're paying too much in taxes? Well, if you're retired or nearly there, and you've saved your money well, did you know that there are dozens of strategies for helping to lower your taxes? Are you taking advantage of all of these? Well, if you're not, find out today, in fact, right now, because we're sharing 10 tax reduction strategies for confident retirement savers. At the Liberty Group, we do your taxes. In fact, we're doing quite a bit of them right now, and manage people's money as well. So you might say we strive to make your retirement plan as tax efficient as it can be proactively, of course, with your input. So since tax season is upon us right now and we're all working overtime, this is a great time to share with you some ideas and for you to think about your future plan and how you can position yourself to reduce those taxes that you're going to pay. It's just that simple. So let's start with some ideas. Here's a couple for keeping more of your money in the future. The first one is when you retire, I hate to tell you this, but you're still gonna have to pay taxes, yeah. And in some cases, you might be paying more taxes than you were while you were working, believe that. According to Kiplinger's, the average American pays about $10,500 a year in total income taxes. This is federal, state, and local. But I find that most of the folks that I meet with are paying a lot more than that, even in retirement. But $10,000, no matter how you look at it, that's a pretty big chunk of money. And for the average American, it's about 14%. Think about that, 14% of their budget. So if you think about the amount of taxes you're paying, taxes could be a bigger lever in your budget than the investment return could be, right? If it's 14% or greater. So cutting expenses, or even if you waited to claim your Social Security, that's not going to really matter as much as really working on your taxes and getting you a bigger benefit. So while taxes are lower right now for many older people, it is worth noting that once this current tax law expires, those rates are going to go up, and your future tax bill, when you start to add in things like Social Security, maybe any pension option you have, when the RMDs start, the required minimum distributions, maybe you're collecting rents, and of course, owe dividends coming off those higher yielding CD accounts right now, all of that adds up, making more than you thought. And then when you go to the file and you say, oh boy, now I got to pay all this money in April, that's a pain. So a good plan of action to get you started now is to look at all the sources of your income. Where is that income coming from? And this is just an active procedure that you can do yourself now as these 1099s are coming in, looking at where they're coming from. Because what you're going to try and do is you're going to try and manipulate how much that 1099 would be next year. You may say, well, can I do that? Yes, you can. There's ways to think about it and there's ways to approach it as you're starting out 2024 right now. So next year when you're in the same position, maybe that 1099 won't come, or maybe it'll be a lot less. And we did this recently with one of our clients who didn't know what we were talking about. And I was kind of excited. We were up skiing and I had this thing, this report came in an email, and I said, hey, check this out. And he said, wow, how'd you do that? And they said, that's what we've been talking about. So anyway, it can be done. You have to look at it. Second, make sure you prepare yourself, as taxes in retirement can be extra annoying. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, when you're working, income taxes are often just taken out of your paycheck automatically. It's almost invisible, even though you know it's there. You don't really pay attention to it. However, when you are retired, taxes are something that you more frequently have to pay, sometimes even quarterly. And so this can make these bills sting more if you're not prepared. So the message I want to give to you today is get prepared before you retire on how much your taxes will be when you retire. And if you're not looking at proactive advice that is personalized to you, well, why not do what other radio show fans have done? If you have questions or want specific advice that's personalized for you, reach out to us at our website, libertygroupllc.com. Again, check out the website, libertygroupllc.com, for some other tax-saving tips that are listed there on the site. You don't know how many times we've heard from fans of our radio show say, I've been meaning to call you, so don't delay, start feeling better about your future. You can reach out and ask us your questions anytime. I like these questions, so please do that. You can just email me, questions@pyaradio.com. So if you want to know how you could pay less taxes, or you just have a tax question, email me, questions@pyaradio.com. If you're just joining us, we're talking about 10 tax reduction strategies for confident retirement savers. And the question is, have you done a good job saving money for retirement, and is it tax efficient? So if you're going to retire early, you should know your options for how you will be taking money out of those retirement accounts. If you're lucky enough to retire early, you'll want to be careful about withdrawing from your retirement accounts. Traditional retirement savings accounts, like say your 401k, maybe you have an IRA, they can enforce a 10%, you heard me right, a 10% penalty for any withdrawals that you make before age 59 and a half. However, there are a few ways around this rule. So what are they? Well, you should look into something called a 72T, like Tom, 72T, and there's something else known as the rule of 55. So you may want to check those out because they provide ways to take money out of those accounts penalty free. And that might make a lot of sense before age 59 and a half. Again, our tools look at that and study that, and we can show you how that might make sense. But if that's something you're thinking about, just be careful when you get in there. Next, be flexible. As you get older, most people have several different account types, which may include a brokerage account, a traditional tax-deferred account like an IRA or a 401k, maybe even a Roth IRA in which you can take money out tax-free. That's just out of the Roth. Conventional wisdom, I've heard this, says that you should start by drawing on the taxable assets and then move next to the tax-deferred, saving the Roth, which is tax-free for last, to give it as much time as possible to grow and compound. But it may not be necessarily advantageous to you to follow that order. And it is, in fact, ideal to keep assets in each type of account to be able to tap into them throughout your lifetime. So don't look at just foreclosing one out because that might hurt you later. This allows extra flexibility to help lower your overall tax burden and also spread these taxes out over time so you don't have to pay them all at once. Make sure you're aware of how different accounts are being taxed before you take any withdrawals out of them and generate a 1099. So as you can see, retirement is full of complicated choices. What do you take out of your IRA? How much should you pull from the 401k? How about claiming your Social Security? What's the optimal time to do that? How do you keep your taxes low? How to leave everything to your loved ones with the least amount of taxes and hassle? And how not to lose your money when the stock market is at all-time highs right now? Do you know if your current retirement plan solves all these problems? Well, if not, then you could be exposed. So find the holes in your plan right now by using our on-track retirement analysis. This is where we will run a retirement what-if analysis and see what tax advantages you can be taking right now in your portfolio. You can see this for yourself right on our simulation tool. This is the on-track analysis. Call this number right now to get your very own complimentary analysis. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. My team is working today. They're right there. Call Phil. Talk to him. 866-776-8328. Again, my team is here to help you save more in taxes. Call us now. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment, where they say once you start taking Social Security, you're going to pay less in taxes. Is that true? Well, you'll find out. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. I am the Sandman. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And I got one question for you. Do you feel like you're paying too much in taxes? Well, if you're retired or nearly there and you've worked hard to save your money, did you know that there are dozens of strategies that you can take advantage of right now to pay less in taxes when you're retired? If you're not taking advantage of all of these, well, we're covering some of them this morning as we go over 10 tax reduction strategies for confident retirement savers. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, This is our They Say segment where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that when you start to collect your Social Security, you'll be taxed on that income a second time. But what about if you're still working collecting Social Security? What then? Well, let's talk through how Social Security is taxed and what you need to know while you're still working if you're going to turn it on. So, first of all, Social Security benefits are taxed only if your income exceeds a certain amount. And here are the numbers. So if you are filing single and you make less than $25,000, or you file jointly and make less than $32,000, well, then your Social Security will not be taxed. Keep in mind that for the federal taxes, all the income they're going to look at is defined as half your Social Security benefit plus all other taxable income and some non-taxable income like municipal bond interest. Loans against life insurance policies, Roth, those don't count, but municipal bond interest does. When you talk about the state side of things, if you live in these states, then they do tax Social Security. So these are some reasons maybe you don't want to move out of California. Colorado, Connecticut, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, and yes, West Virginia, they're going to tax potentially your Social Security. So maybe you don't move there. Next, understand what the penalties are for collecting your Social Security and working at the same time. This is sort of gets into that question of they say, what am I talking about here? Well, if you have reached something known as your full retirement age, write that down. You need to find out what yours is because everybody's is different. FRA, full retirement age, that's what it stands for. How do you find it? Well, you have to pull your statement and find out what your special number is. Yes, you're special. Go to this website, www.ssa.gov. That's for the government, the Social Security. Go there. When you get there, you'll see at the lower left, it says something about getting your Social Security statement. You need to get your statement. Then what you want to do is you want to look at it and study it and see what it says about your FRA. If you are younger than your FRA, so let's say you're 62 or 63 or 64 or even 65, and you decide you want to take your Social Security at that time and you're still working, if you earn a certain amount, then guess what? They're going to automatically take, reduce, tax, whatever you want to call it, away from your Social Security benefit that you're collecting. That's right. So one question I hear a lot is, well, how does our tax filing change when I stop working, when I'm retired? Well, here's another one. Most people file their taxes by using Form 1040, or right now the popular 1040-SR. You have an option if you're 65 or older. For most retirees, you can go with something called an SSA 1099 to report your Social Security benefit. And if you have a pension, you're going to get what's called a 1099-R. So be aware of that. It's going to change a little bit from when you were getting your W-2. You also need to report any work income that you have. Also, if you have annuities that are paying you. And also, let's say you have savings accounts like CDs. Those are going to hit you even though you're not taking anything out. So retirement may be a good time, as you think about all these different sources of income that are going to be created, to consult with a tax expert, someone who does this every day. The process of trying to figure out where to take funds out of to minimize the impact of taxes becomes very complicated as you start to add different sources of income to your bottom line, especially when you're looking at that Social Security puzzle about how you unlock the benefit, particularly if there's two of you that are going to be collecting against it. So the way I like to explain it is every person, every couple has a unique tax situation, and a good financial planner using the state-of-the-art up-to-date tools that are available, yeah, they cost money, but they're really good, they can customize an approach to look at the future of how taxes are going to impact your livelihood and how much money is going to come out of your annual savings that you have to live off of. These programs can show you the most tax-efficient way to take advantage of the levels of benefit that are out there before you cross into a higher tax zone. So if you're not looking at that sort of thing, if you're not simulating all of this, then I think it's really important that you get with someone who knows how to do it. Now, that could be a CPA who has the software who can do what's called a simulation. Our tax personnel, CPAs, EAs that we work with at Liberty Group, we can do advanced modeling on just taxes. Now, when we work with a certified financial planner, then we bring in the investments into the equation, because both of those things tend to cause a pretty big amount of your taxes, as you can imagine. And then if you happen to own real estate, we are huge advocates of real estate. We like real estate. We're involved in real estate. We understand real estate. And so we'll look at the depreciation schedules on those properties. We'll look at all of your expenses, the taxes, the maintenance, the manager fees, all those sort of things that are going on, and see what's the best way to pay less in taxes, even though you have this income coming in. Are there ways to do exchanges or other sorts of things out there? Well, we're aware of all of those. So we will help you with that, and hopefully your person's doing the same. Well, I hope this information was helpful. And listen, the government is over $36 trillion in debt right now. Think about it. Go take a look at it. usdebtclock.org. Higher taxes, I hate to say it, they're on the horizon, hoping to pay for trillions and trillions of dollars of all the spending. Do you know how this will impact your retirement? Well, if you're like most people, you're probably waiting to see what new tax laws will go into effect after this election is behind us. But there's no reason to wait. Remember, the individual tax cuts of the 2018 tax law that went into effect, those expire at the end of 2025. And so it's probably safe to say that no matter where this election goes, those tax rates are changing, because that is currently the law. And if they can't figure things out like that, we have trouble. So you probably will be paying more in taxes as you retire and as these years tick away than you ever thought possible on all that income that's coming in. And so if you don't have an action plan right now and plan ahead for potential taxes on the horizon, well, guess what? You're going to probably have a problem. So how do you pay less taxes on those retirement assets as you wind your way through retirement? Well, that's easy, because lucky for you, there are a few investments out there right now that we're aware of right now that have tax favored treatment with pretty good potential returns when you look at all of your taxes that you're paying. But you need to speak with someone who knows about these things and what are the latest opportunities. It's kind of like going to the grocery store and you see the best stack of carrots over there, and of course once they're gone, they're gone. You need to be at the market in the morning to see them as they come in. That's what we do. We look at these things every day, and you probably aren't getting that opinion from the guy that gave you the first one. So if you want a second opinion, you want to find out where the best carrots are, give us a call. We have CPAs, attorneys, and financial advisors under one roof who look at these things every day, and we're ready to help you. So find out what you're missing out on by calling this number right now. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, 866-776-8328 now to find out what are the latest tax-saving strategies that could work for you. Again, 866-PROTECT if you want to pay less taxes. My team is working here on a Saturday. We're here to help you right now before you have to file in April 15th. It is March. You don't have much time to go. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next on our final segment, John D. Rockefeller said this: the surest way to accumulate wealth is to not pay tax on income you are not using. Think about that. What's he talking about? And how did he do that? Obviously, he did it pretty well. Find out when we come back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. And I got one question for you this morning. Do you feel like you're paying too much in taxes? Well, if you're retired or nearly there and you've saved your money well, there are dozens of strategies that you can use to pay less in taxes on that income that's going to be produced in retirement. And so this morning we've been covering 10 tax reduction strategies for confident retirement savers to make sure you're taking care of everything you possibly can. So we have a few more to go over this morning. Now, John D. Rockefeller said the following: the surest way to accumulate wealth is to not pay tax on income you're not using. What is he saying is to make as much of your income as non-taxable as possible. Here's the thing. A lot of people, maybe even you, are paying taxes on income that you're currently not even using. And you don't even realize this until you go meet your tax person and you hand over all those 1099s. Maybe you aren't even looking at them. But where's that coming from? And then you end up paying taxes on it and you just keep doing this same behavior each and every year. So let's talk through a couple strategies that you can do right now. Or if you're not, start paying attention to these things. So if you're not yet retired and you have income from work, then you need to look at this. You might have taxable income from, say, a withdrawal from a tax-deferred account, maybe a passive investment like real estate. Maybe you're turning over a piece of property and you didn't do a 1031 exchange. No matter what your status is, retirement tax planning often means keeping your taxable income under certain thresholds. So to do this, not just manufacturing, taking out less. Another way you can do it is through deductions. That's right. Deductions are still around. So deductions are a way to turn taxable income into non-taxable income. So here's a few ways to do that. First, add to your retirement savings. What do I mean? So long as you are earning income, say through your W-2, and you want to keep your income below a certain threshold, any money that you take out of your, say, pay each and every other week and you put into a 401k, a 403b, or an IRA won't be taxed that particular year. So that's a way to take a deduction in a sense. You can also add even more to retirement savings if you're over 50. Now, what do I mean about that? The IRS has what's called catch-up provisions, which is a way to make it easier for people over age 50 to put away more into their retirement savings accounts. You probably already know this, that there's a limit to how much you're allowed to save in these types of accounts, such as IRAs and 401ks. But once you reach age 50, you're allowed to make these additional catch-up contributions over and above those annual amounts that maybe you thought you were aware of. So again, find out what the latest numbers are because they keep going up. Here's another example. An HSA account, a health savings account. I love these accounts because healthcare is expensive and it just gets more expensive. In fact, it grows each and every year by double digits. So one way you can stay on top of that is by saving tax-free. HSAs allow you to do that. You can make your spending a little more efficient by utilizing an HSA for medical expenses through retirement. Money you put in an HSA is deductible up to, right now, $4,150 per individual. Or if you're a family, $8,300, this is in 2024. Plus, if you're over 55, you can put away an additional $1,000. So think about that. That's a straight up deduction. Goes into an HSA account. You can invest that. The amount will grow and compound tax-free for many years until you need it. Beside the savings being non-taxable, when you take the money out of the HSA to pay for qualified medical expenses, that comes out tax-free. So again, no 1099 there, that's huge. Well, the one advantage of debt, if you itemize your deductions, then the interest you pay on some debts, mortgages, student loans, and more, it's deductible. The one advantage of state taxes, this is something I didn't know. Like debt, state and local taxes can be deducted, that's right, if you itemize. Give a little, get a little. Charitable contributions of up to 50% of your adjusted gross income are also deductible if you itemize and give to a qualified charity. Work for yourself? Please think about this if you manage real estate. Many retirees start their own businesses, and if this is you, did you know that you can deduct the premiums you pay for Medicare Part B and Part D, plus the cost of supplemental Medicare or Medicare Advantage? You know that nagging question. Just about everyone feels it as they get close to retiring. That constant wonder in the back of your mind, do you really have enough? Or could my retirement savings last as long as I do? Did you know that you don't have to wonder about that anymore? Did you know you can literally test that and have that question definitively answered in writing with new technological tools that exist? We have these tools at the Liberty Group, and we give people just like you answers to these questions and help you make adjustments along the way so you have greater confidence and control as you move down that mountain. Set up a 15-minute strategy right now with our team of tax and retirement planners who are working today on people's tax returns and want to help you deduct more, get more, save more. Those questions are there. Get them answered. 866-PROTECT. Call us right now. 866-776-8328. Reach out to my team. They're there ready to help you. We have over 30 years of experience doing this. Call us. 866-776-8328. Get yourself some help. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team this morning for putting together a great show. My executive producer in the studio there, network manager Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers there answering the phone, Phil, Adrian, Lucas. Thanks, guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets radio network. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend and go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.